We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. We pray that you ladies had a wonderful Mother's Day yesterday and that everybody got to be refreshed in the Lord. Pray that you're ready to hit the ground running with a smile on your face. You know, just everybody, just real quick, it won't hurt. Just smile just for a second. I even if you have to take your fingers and push it up there while you're at the stoplight, just smile. If your sins are forgiven, just think about what it is going to be like for just an instant when we get to heaven. There's no more temptation. There's no more pain. There's no more disappointment or discouragement or sickness or death. Hallelujah. And then, you know, there's all of the victories to celebrate. We get to spend eternity with Jesus, and it is going to be wonderful. If, you know, the pressures of life have you down right now, just think about the fact that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And listen, I don't think that is just the joy that the Lord provides. I when that verse that talks about the joy of the Lord is my strength, I believe that is the joy of knowing that God is involved in my life. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's redeemed me. He's healing me. He's saved me. And he is with me on this journey. That reality is what gives me the strength to go on. And so, hallelujah. Pray that you're having a great Monday. We want to start off today by saying thank you to Jits Concrete, 536-5804. 536-5804. If you need any block work or concrete work done, give them a call and they may be able to fix you up. Here in Brevard County, they've been doing that for a long, long time and are very good at what they do. So we are thankful for the Anderson family. 536-5804. Ask for Greg and tell him you heard about him here on the Refresh radio broadcast. So we are going to be looking today in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 as we get this week underway. And I'm just going to read the end of chapter 1 to set up the stage for chapter 2, because chapter 2 begins with a therefore. And so we need to go back and see what was being discussed in the end of chapter 1 to understand that the context of what's being said in chapter 2. And verse number 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all righteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them." Okay, so that is the background. This is being said about people who did not choose to retain the knowledge of God. And so there was a change of mind. There was a mental adjustment that God made. And so all of those things begin to take place. And you can read the list there yourself. And it talks about who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, chapter 1, verse number 32 of Romans, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Okay. And so that's the reality. This is not Old Testament. This is New Testament. And Paul is writing and he says, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice those things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So the mindset was, instead of running from them, that they embraced them, they honored them, and they put their stamp of approval on people who were behaving in those manners, knowing that the result was going to be death. And so to give you an example, it would be like, I'm just going to go to the law of gravity. It would be like me going on top of the steeple at our church and saying that I know that the law of gravity has always applied, but I believe that God has created an exception for me, that the law of gravity no longer applies to me. And so I'm just going to step off of the steeple here, and the law of gravity is not going to impact me. And the result of that would be that I would come crashing down to the earth, because the law of gravity in actuality impacts everybody and everything. We would not be able to function without some sort of gravitational pull in our life. But there are people who in the spirit realm take knowing that the law of gravity affects everybody, they expect that they have a special contract with God. I've actually had people that have told me this, that them and God have a special understanding, that they get to violate the dictates of God and that they're going to be okay. Let me tell you this pastor's perspective on special exceptions or special exemptions that you might have with God. They don't exist. God's word is not for individual interpretation, but it is an interpretation for all. And so the law of sin and death affects everybody. And Jesus came to give us the law of love, that we could live in that manner instead of being impacted with these destructive lifestyles. Actually, these are not lifestyles. They are death styles. You know, so anyway, that's what's setting the stage here for Romans chapter 2. Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. As for you who judge, practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, O man, you who judge, think this? Let me try that verse again. My eye acted up there. And do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no partiality with God. So Paul starts off and he tells people that those who are participating in those things that we were just talking about in Romans chapter 1, that when they were judging and condemning those who were violating another part of the law, but they were doing the exact same thing, they were not retaining the knowledge of God, and they were participating in other aspects. The scripture says that he who violates one portion of the law is guilty of violating the whole thing. It is the law of holiness. You know, you don't want any impurity in the water that you drink. You want it to be purified. And so you and I, we need to have an appreciation, and we also need to have an attitude of mercy. Listen, I believe that God can forgive. I believe that God wants to forgive. I really, really do. If God was looking to condemn people into an eternity apart from him, he wouldn't have had to do anything. But instead, he proactively acted so that you and I could have a way of escape. And so, as Christians, we are not to be the ones that are condemning people, but instead, we are to be dealing with them to let them know that there is another way, and that is just to ask God to renew our minds so that we appreciate the knowledge of God once again. Right now, there is a tremendous attack in America to suppress the very concept of God, and that if you practice your relationship with Jesus Christ, that, you know, you are the most vile of the vile in America at this point in time. We need God to renew our mindset in America again. We need to, instead of people being arrogant and that being exalted, we need to understand that God gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud. There's a whole lot of stuff in there. Let's look at some things at back up in chapter one. Covetousness. If God is the supplier of all good things for me and I don't have it in my life, then I need to appreciate his timing and say, you know what, God, if it's not in my life right now, it is because it is either A, not ready, or it is not a good thing for me at this season in my life. And so maliciousness, look at some of, you know, there are some things that people, you know, automatically think of as bad, and it is murder, strife. Lying is an art form currently. Evil-mindedness, haters of God, people who are just violent, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. All of those things, a lot of those things are held up as virtuous right now in America, and we need God to renew our mind to back to the proper understanding that we are supposed to be loving, that we are supposed to be discerning, that we are supposed to be trustworthy, that we are supposed to be merciful. Okay. By the way, that word in verse 31, undiscerning, that means that we are going to be making decisions. For us not to judge does not mean that we are not supposed to determine what is good and what is not good, what is right and what is wrong. It means that we're not supposed to be condemning people and saying, well, there's no hope for you. There's no hope for you. There is hope for the vilest sinner. Listen, if there was hope for Paul, if there was hope for Moses, if there was hope for David, there's hope for you, and there's hope for me. So we need to realize, by the way, I think it would be great if you knew somebody who had been saved out of a life of drugs. I think that would be awesome. I know a couple of people right off the top of my head that used to be a part of their past, but it's not a part of their present, and it's not a part of their future. I love that. You need to know people that God has delivered from alcohol. You need to know people from every spectrum of sin's vast array that God has redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, because it's going to build your faith that he can do that again in other people. So verse number three, it says, do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? There are so many people who live their life and their mindset is, I know that there are consequences, but those consequences aren't going to happen to me. And Paul just writes to the Romans and he says, do you really think that you're going to be able to escape? You might be able to conceal it from men, but you're not going to be able to conceal it from God. And that's the real thing that we need to be aware of, is that there is a judgment that is coming. It's not going to be a judgment by Bob Arthurs. It's not going to be a judgment by any politician. It's going to be judged. It's going to be a judgment by the one who knows all things. And so we need to have our sins forgiven and placed under the blood of Jesus Christ. This is verse 4 is really the crux of this passage that I want to talk about. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, the his goodness being God's goodness? Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Okay? And so here we have been talking about God's leading for a number of weeks. We had a little bit of a stay in Isaiah, the 58th chapter, because we were wanting to set the context for the fact that God wants to lead us constantly, continually. And here we begin to see the goodness of God. God leads in his goodness. He does not lead as a dictator. He leads out of his goodness. Jesus, when they called him good, he said, "Why do you call me good? There is none good but God." And he wasn't saying that he wasn't good. He was like, if you're going to call me good, then you have to understand that in doing so, the only actual claim to goodness is God. And so if you're going to call me good, you have to realize that I am the Son of God. That's what Jesus was saying there. So you and I, we need to realize that God leads us out of his goodness. And yet there are people who despise the riches of his goodness. Let me first of all get to the end of the verse, and then we'll move back up to the first part of the verse. Or not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. Here's what I want. God, in his goodness, brings us to the place where we forsake our sin. We repent. We ask God to change our heart so we no longer want those things. We ask him to change our mind so that we're no longer susceptible to those things. That he changes our direction so that we are now running to God instead of running from God. You see, the first blessing that is available to every person is the opportunity to repent. God blesses us with the gift of repentance. And yet, in 2015, here in America right now, we are being told that repentance is unnecessary. And I want you to know that God's word says exactly the opposite. God in his goodness doesn't drive us away from repentance. God in his goodness leads us to repentance. The prodigal son, all of a sudden, his eyes were open and he came to his right mind and he realized that the conditions that he was living in on his own were far worse than the least of his father's servants. And so he said, you know what? I need to go back home. And when he got back home, the father had so much more waiting for him than what he even deemed possible for himself. But let me tell you this about the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Okay. And that is this. All of those things, the ring, the sandals, the robe, the fatted calf, all of those things, none of them were pronounced on that son that was returning. No, none of those things were imparted to him until he first admitted, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. Please forgive me." Repentance is absolutely essential. The Holy Spirit in his goodness brings us to the place where we repent. So if you're listening today and the devil has tried to convince you that you have sinned too much and that it is hopeless, I've got good news for you. You have not sinned too much. You are not hopeless. God is waiting for you. He longs to forgive you, but he's not going to empower you in your sin. He wants to give you the gift of repentance. Now, I have this personal belief, and that is this, that when we sinned, when we were in a life of sin, we were good at it. We were professional sinners. And there were some people who ran headlong into sin, and they ran full speed into sin. And I believe that when we repent and when we turn to God, that we need to have an even greater tenacity for the things of God than we had for the things of the world. That we ought to be pursuing God with greater urgency than we pursued the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life. I believe that we should not have been giving our best strength and our best efforts, our time, our resources to our own pleasures, and then expect that we're just going to be able to saunter through our relationship with God. I believe that when God gives us the gift of repentance, that it turns us around, and we need to be pursuing him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the mindset that we've got to have is God is not depriving us of good things when he delivers us from those evil mindsets in Romans chapter 1, but he is actually preparing us for good things. And so we do not need to despise the riches of his goodness, his long-suffering, his forbearance, because he's leading us to repentance. Okay? If you are alive right now and you are not a child of God, I want you to understand that the reason that you are alive is because of God's great mercy. I look back at my brother, my sister, myself, and each one of us had an opportunity where we could have died very easily if it weren't for the mercy of God. And I am very thankful for God's mercy. I know people who were raised in the house of God, and they ran from it, and God in his great mercy brought them back. And they are more passionate for the things of God now than they ever were before. Praise God for that. I just want to encourage you today that repentance is not an evil word. It is a great gift from God. God leads us there because he knows it is in our best interest. But verse number 5, but in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Okay? So let me tell you, I was told this a long time ago. It was mentioned in Sunday school by one of our teachers back in the day, and was talking about people who were storing up, you know, wrath for themselves. They'd been really good sinners and things like that. And please understand, the longer that you resist God's repentance, the more you are storing up. And it talks about you are treasuring up for yourself wrath. Okay, that's not a good thing. Jesus told us that we were to store up treasures in heaven, but those were supposed to be good things, not preparing. That was to be preparing us for blessing, not for God's wrath. You say, but I thought God is love. Yes, God is love, but it says his wrath is equal to his mercy. That's in the Old Testament. His wrath is equal to his mercy. And so I want you to know that God is in his mercy, his long suffering, his forbearing. He's not manifesting that because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. He wants everyone to repent of their sins. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I've sinned. You've sinned. My wife has sinned. My kids have sinned. Our entire church, if you come to Merit Assembly of God and you're looking for a perfect church, you won't find us there because we are sinners saved by grace. But now we have a completely different mindset to sin. We're no longer approving and participating in those things, But instead, we are asking God, God, give us on a daily basis the victory over these things. So please don't store up for yourself wrath. Close that account. Here's what was said in Sunday school, that whenever I realize that I have sown seeds of unrighteousness instead of seeds of righteousness, then God, when he gives me the gift of repentance, then I pray for crop failure for the seeds that I've sown. I pray for crop failure. God, would you just come and would you plow that? Would you plow all of those seeds? Would you just plow that field to where they don't germinate, where they don't produce a harvest in my life? Because I want a harvest of righteousness, not of unrighteousness. You know, up in the Midwest, if a crop is starved of hydration, or if it's starved of the proper nutrients, it doesn't grow to a certain level, if it's not going to produce the harvest that the farmer wants, a lot of times they will just come and they'll plow the field before it. Why waste the ground? And so today, I pray that if you have sown bad seeds, if you've got some of those things that are talked about in Romans chapter 1 in your life, today I pray that you would recognize that the goodness of God is coming to you through the sound of this preacher's voice right now to lead you to repentance. Can we close this broadcast with just a word of prayer today? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that Jesus went to the cross on our behalf to forgive us of our sins and be the Lord of our life. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for anyone listening to my voice, God, and they have not been living for you, and they know it. God, I pray today that the gentleness and the goodness of the Holy Spirit would bring them right now to the place of repentance. Father, forgive us. Father, lead us continually. Father, lead us and empower us to live a righteous and holy life that is pleasing and acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name, thank you for being my Savior and my Lord. If you've said that prayer and given your heart to the Lord, would you do us a favor? Would you contact us at 454-4263 or meritassembly@hotmail.com? We would love to hear from you. We would love to celebrate with this decision that you have made and that celebrate with you the gift that God has given to you. If you contact us at those, we'll send you some resources free of charge that will help you to grow in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you. You have a great day. We will see you right here tomorrow on the Refresh Radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would